Here it comes. The latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green. Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Hey, everybody, welcome. You are listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. I'm Gina Murphy, darling, and I thank you for listening. So joining me in studio for the next 30 minutes is a return guest and one I so enjoy spending time with, so much so that we almost forgot when the beginning of the show was because we were having too much fun, I think it's called. So please join me in welcoming T. Van Hook. T. is the CEO for Habitat for Humanity Tucson, and we're going to talk about how repairing a home helps to build a community, and T. has seen that in so many ways. And who better to light us up about this than the leader of the pack? That would be you. You've been called other things, I know.
I've been called lots of things, but leader of the pack is great.
I love it, too. And you get everybody excited about Habitat's great work, and you never seem to tire in that passion. And I get it. I resemble that remark as far as being Mrs. Green. So thanks for being here, T, and thanks for what you do, and thanks for making this show so much fun to do.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here, and it's a critical topic we're talking about, and home repair is one of those things that helps us preserve the earth. Why build new when we can take care of what we already have?
And I think it's going to be more and more and more and more important as we go into the future. It is retro. Let's go retro.
I think it's not just retro, but we have a silver tsunami. We have a lot of baby boomers that are aging in their homes, and those homes need to be taken care of. It's so much better for the human beings that live in them and for our environment to take care of what we have.
And I just want to ask you, we're going to talk about that. I want to stay on point, but at some point in the show, I want to ask you is what you're doing in terms of the repairs for homes a Habitat-driven or a Tucson Habitat-driven initiative? So
I think it's a little of both. I think that it's critical here in Tucson. It's critical in the Southwest and in anywhere where we have warmer climates, where people have migrated. My sister and I always talk about we have an immigration problem in Arizona, and we don't think that immigration problem is our friends from Mexico that we've always been really wonderful friends with. That border isn't our problem. Our immigration problem is that we have a lot of folks coming from northern climates in the United States, and they settle here, and their families don't come with them necessarily, and so we have a lot of folks aging in place, and those of us that have lived here for a long time and have gotten along with our great neighbors from the South now have some older folks to take care of, and the family structure isn't always here to help take care of that. So our immigration problem is a societal problem and not a problem of the amazing cultures that have intermixed with us for centuries from across the border.
Well said. I feel like ringing a bell there. I hope you all got that. So paint us a picture of your view of Tucson. You're out and about. You're consistently in many neighborhoods. It's a big city, but it always has a small town feel. You never want to burn a bridge, that's for sure. What are some of the needs that you see that will help us build a better and stronger community in terms of your role and mission?
Well, I think the Southwest in general, and Tucson in particular, is really culturally diverse and neighborhood-specific. We have a really rich architectural tradition here. We don't have homes that are built traditionally, like we see in other parts of the country. We use different materials. We didn't have a lot of traditional trees that they used. We used the traditional materials we had here, from adobe to rammed earth, a lot of traditional materials. We also have traditional pests that,
especially in the older homes.
Absolutely. Yeah. The other thing that we had, different building patterns. We didn't have building codes in our particular county outside of the urban areas until 1977. And land use in Arizona was very different than in eastern areas. We have core cities, and then we incorporated in batches. So Tucson as a community started out really as a little castrum, as a little walled city, believe it or not. And then we grew and grew and grew. And people talk about urban sprawl and really post-World War II, how we had these little neighborhoods and subdivisions, and suburban areas became urban areas. And so the growth patterns were very, very different. And so as we incorporated these different areas and large builders came in to build retirement communities and other things, if we think about it, the housing structures are aging. And as medical advances advanced and people came to retire, they're living to be older ages. So we have a lot of Tucsonans that are aging in place in their homes, and those houses are aging. And we get calls every day from men and women, mostly women. And it's a phenomenon called the silver tsunami, where they're aging in place. They're running out of their retirement savings. And certainly after the financial crisis of the Great Recession, a lot of companies, either their pensions went away or they were undersaved because they've lived longer. A lot of times we're seeing this in women, and I recently testified about this in Congress. We have women who were in and out of the workforce, or maybe never entered the workforce because they were raised in 40s and 50s, or now even in the 60s, and they're retiring. They didn't have the same retirement savings that their husbands had, or right. Retirement savings were different or wiped out during the recession.
Nor the ability, and it is a gender bias in this case, because typically, let's face it, home repair is in the domain of the male. It's the way it was.
And the savings to hire an outside contractor
was
in the domain of the men.
Yeah.
So we're seeing a lot of folks aging in their homes, and they need repairs, and they're not able to afford those. So if their house is declining and they don't have proper air conditioning, or swamp coolers were a big trend when these houses were built, and they just don't keep the house in as good of condition.
Right.
The humidity builds, we're seeing mold issues, we're seeing a lot of, even if there isn't mold, it wears on the sheetrock and the drywall. It ages.
You're constantly putting moisture in the air.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Deterioration on the interior walls. We're seeing bathrooms that aren't accessible, you know, roll-in showers or easy enter tubs or easy enter showers, smaller bathrooms, commodes that aren't accessible. So the issues we're seeing range from structural upgraded electrical systems are needed for the new HVAC systems, weatherization. You know, slump block was very popular without proper insulation. There are so many things we can do for energy savings now, for heating and cooling. You know, a lot of upgrades that you would certainly back, Mrs. Green, because they really are better for our environment.
And some of the incentives that TEP and Tucson Water offer to upgrade all these and for retrofitting amaze me. We've done some great shows, and it really, there are serious financial incentives and rebates and support to do the right green thing.
And Trees for Tucson. You know, we can work with Trees for Tucson and put in trees to lower energy bills. So we're trying to leverage all of those together. The issue is it's very expensive, and resources to make this happen are very limited. And so we're trying to work with the community to make sure those things happen. And it's, you know, to be realistic, we need funding to do this, and it's very limited. So there are very few houses we can do. It's estimated in Tucson, and numbers vary depending on who you talk to, but somewhere around 55,000 individuals are living in homes, 55,000 to 60,000 homes that are in need of a major repair.
T, that is really awful.
It's really awful.
I'm sorry to say that. I rarely say awful on the show, and I used to say awful because I'm from New Jersey, but it's like it's awful, and it's so true. And I would say those numbers probably won't decrease.
No, they won't.
It will increase. And when you do this, so you partner with the families. This is one of my favorite models about Habitat for Humanity. I love it, and it means so much to me in my life as a social service worker way back in the day. But you offer a hand up, not a handout. It doesn't ever help to give a family money, like not ever, without some further learning. Money is usually not the problem. It's skills and on and on. So you engage them, even the seniors?
Well, yeah, because it doesn't matter what stage of life or what your skill level is. And maybe you're an older widow or widower and you live in a neighborhood, you may not be able to pick up a hammer and help. You may not be able to come out and rake in your yard or fix your fence or change out fixtures in your bathroom. But when you go play bingo or you go to church or you're in the grocery store and you see someone that you know from the neighborhood, you can share the word about Habitat.
Right.
You can come out and greet the volunteers and help us set up. Yeah, absolutely.
For the volunteer, I immediately think of food. It's okay.
Well, or you can bring iced tea. You can share water. There's a job you can do. You know, we have volunteers in the office that answer our phones. We have people that help with registration in the morning when the volunteers come. There's something everyone can do. And in the cases where we have older participants in our program, people with disabilities, it may just be as simple as coming out to circle up in the morning and visiting and helping us with registration or asking folks to, at the senior center, at their church, in the grocery store, talking to people about the program and reporting back to us as they're networking with their neighborhood association or whatever they're doing. There are a million ways to help Habitat for Humanity in your community.
And then when you ask people to help, like in the seniors, and there's always something you can do. Like you said, giving back. They might not be able to be doing home repair, but they could volunteer at the Habit Store. I mean, there's a myriad of things they could do, or tell people to bring donations there. What do you do about, what do you see? I don't mean what do you do. What do you see when you go into a neighborhood? Do you see a ripple effect usually where you start clean up, paint up, and the neighborhood is starting to get transformed? Does it create either more demand for you to be there to doing it the next door, or is it people get excited and start taking more pride in their own neighborhood?
It's the latter. People get excited and start taking more pride in their neighborhood, or neighbors come together to help one another. When we work in neighborhoods, I like to use kind of a domino effect. I ask people to think of it in these terms. What can I do myself? If I can't solve a problem myself, how do I learn to ask my neighbor for help? How do I exchange help? You know, so I might be an elderly person or a disabled person, and next door I see a single mom. So I could say something like, I could use a little help today, but I see sometimes you're late getting home from work. You know, I could act as a resource. The kids could come over here for 20 minutes.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, so how do I negotiate with my neighbor?
Building neighborhoods.
Absolutely. If we can't do it together, how do we get others involved? And if that doesn't work, how do we go to our neighborhood association, our local city council office, the fire department? How do we work together to a social service agency? What are the resources available in our neighborhood? How do we work? How do we go to Trees for Tucson and get trees? How do we go to the Parks and Rec and ask about a community garden? How do we make those resources come together for us?
And it just becomes a ripple effect, which I love, or the domino effect. And there's something in one of your taglines about strength, stability, and self-reliance. And I love that because each one of those words are impactful and strategic and important. You make the community stronger.
Right. And our mission isn't to build affordable housing. And I tell people that all the time. We're building a more just and kind world. And we're doing that by building homes, community, and hope. And we bring people together to do that. And that's what our volunteer model is about. That's what our hand up, not hand out model is about.
Right.
That's what Habitat is. It's the core to who we are. And so when people think, you know, it always makes me sad that people think we come together to build houses and give them away. We don't do any of the above. We come together to build community. That community builds houses, and we sell them to hard-working families. We come together to repair owner-occupied houses as part of that community. Every neighborhood has a life cycle. Today's shiny new neighborhood, 25 years from now, is going to be in that same life cycle.
Right, right.
So when you're sitting in your brand new home saying, "Ooh, I have this brand new beautiful home that's never going to be me," you're wrong, because your neighborhood
homes age just like people do.
You know, if we look at nature, and Mrs. Green, you're about nature and this earth, everything has a season.
Yes.
And neighborhoods have the same life cycle that the earth has. And as soon as we all start recognizing that the earth has a life cycle and we're part of that life cycle, we understand that habitat has a life cycle. We all have that life cycle. We've got to embrace that, which is what you're trying to get all of us to do, and be part of that. And we're asking your listeners, we're asking our community to join with Habitat and help one another come together as a community to help those in need of affordable housing and help our neighbors who are in their homes to stay in their homes. Once you take someone over the age of 65 out of their home because it's in need of a repair, force them out of their home. According to the National Center for Disease Control, the CDC, we shorten their lives by 2/3.
Yeah. I was going to say it has to be years. It's the beginning of the end.
Remove them from their community.
Yes.
Remove them from their home
they
against
their
will.
They lose their spirit, their will to live, their independence. It's really tough, and we see it so much. I have so many friends with aging parents, and unfortunately, I don't want to start on this discussion, but sometimes the quality of life that they have is horrible because the medications they have are keeping them alive. So there's a real mix there. But that being said, it becomes our community's problems. We are the village, and it becomes the community's problems. I can't agree with you more. Now, I want to ask you this. I know that our mutual friend Kevin is working hard to raise money for Rainbow Build.
Yes.
So proud of him for that. Like, so proud of him. And he's really connecting with a somewhat different community, awakening people all over the town to find different donors, which you need. For this particular kind of doing repairs, it's not as sexy as building a new house and putting on a new roof and all that. Is it more challenging to raise funds for that? I mean, we have the Women Build. Thank you, Linda Loos, for hosting
and
that
the
for
entire
20 years.
Women Build.
And the Women Build. I mean,
absolutely.
My friend
the
Lynn Wood-Dusenberry. Yeah, they're all dropping
Ellen
names.
Ellen Wheeler, yeah.
Ellen Wheeler, another friend. They're really just so dedicated.
Absolutely.
What do you have anybody that's carrying the torch for this? Because to me, when you're talking, I'm getting sucked in. It's like, yes, let's help the old people. It's okay if you call me old people.
Well, Mrs. Green, for the last 2 years, we've had an anonymous donor who has given us, but we are not expecting. They sold a business, or they had an income, but it was a one time. So for 2 years, our program was funded by an anonymous donor.
Wow.
But we have no additional funds for the Aging in Place Home Repair Program.
It's almost like a development director's single job. It could be.
Absolutely.
You have to raise funds to build the other houses. And then you have someone like Kevin that's trying to build his own house through the support of his friends and his community.
Sure.
But it's never ending.
Well, and each year we build about 14, between 14 and 20 houses, and they have themes. A veteran, a rainbow build. And, you know, Tucson's proud. We're proud that we are the first community in the United States to build an LGBT funded house.
I'm so proud.
And, you know, we're proud that we have never in our 36-year history defined what a family is, and we're very proud of that. We're proud to be one of the longest established continuous women's build partners in the United States. We're proud to be one of the oldest habitats in the United States, the 7th habitat, celebrating our 36th year. And we're one of the pioneers in aging in place home repair, but we do not have a sustainable funding source for the home repair program. And you're right, it's not sexy. It's not, you can't go and attend a wall raising and everyone cheer and everyone have a
right.
part in raising
have
a wall.
Ribbon cutting. It's just very different. But
it's very
so
different.
Important. It's like when you talk about my role of Mrs. Green, that's systemic change. And it to go to the place of, if let's just be totally about how much money it saves, instead of those people going into assisted living or a facility that's help, you know, that might be state supported, keeping people in their home, everybody wins. Everybody wins.
And repairing those homes rather than raising them and having blight in a neighborhood, having an entire neighborhood go into disrepair.
Healthy communities.
Healthy communities.
It's screaming at me. So when you do, I don't think I've ever asked this question, and I cannot believe it. So if you have jobs, you do weatherization, you do health and safety upgrades and repairs, you're not a roof repair. If the roof blows off, you can't be an emergency roof repairer, but you do help with roofs.
Yes.
What about for volunteers? How do you know, or do you use volunteers for that? Because that's different than when we do it with the Chapman team. Everybody can use the roller. Everybody can hammer these nails.
Certainly.
You know, it's so much easier. What do you do in terms of, there's got to be lots of qualified men and women that knows how to do those things, but how do you supervise that?
So
that was a long question, but you get it.
Sure. When we're working in a private home, there's a combination of jobs that some of the jobs we contract out.
Okay, good. Which then gives jobs in the community.
In the community.
Circulating that local funding.
Correct. And we get discounts at some of the, and we get in-kind donations from some of our contractors. But for the most part, we do that. We're very careful to protect the homeowner's privacy.
Right.
And we're very careful to make sure that we have licensed contractors, that we're working with a very vulnerable population. So we're very careful to protect them. The last thing we need, you know, a lot of these seniors have had door-to-door salespeople come by, we'll sell you windows, we'll whatever.
Predators.
So we're
seriously, that's what they are.
Very, very careful to protect that population. So that program's handled a lot differently than others.
Yeah.
But at the end, we do our brush with kindness. We bring volunteers in to do
exterior
repairs.
JJ talked about that a little bit. That show's coming up. Tell
Absolutely.
Us what that is, brush with
That's
kindness.
Where we come in. Love we bring it. Volunteers to do external repairs to the home, paint the outside, repair fencing, do new landscaping, sustainable, zero-scaping landscaping. Really do
a makeover. Who doesn't like a makeover?
Right, a makeover on the outside of the house.
That's great.
And that's a really great 1 or 2 day project where you can really see a huge impact on the homeowner. And so we do that. And on occasion we have some gut work and other things that we can do using volunteers. We're very select in the volunteers that go into those owner occupied homes with seniors and adults with disabilities or homes with children that have disabilities. All of those regular volunteers have had a thorough background check and investigation.
I didn't even think of that. You can't
Absolutely.
Just say, oh, here's some do-gooder who might be a predator himself
other
ways.
We
you
do
have to be
thorough
careful.
Background
yeah.
checks on those folks.
Yep. Makes sense. Now, you talked about some of your partners. I think one of the biggest challenges facing us as a country today, and that will continue to face us long after I'm gone, which I hope isn't for another 50 years, but is the veterans.
Absolutely.
I mean, it is so absolutely overwhelming to me at times when I think of how many men and women are coming back, and in many cases there's lots of damage. If I had if I was deployed to Afghanistan for 4 times, I might have some serious damage. What are you doing with the veterans?
We're working right now. We're very excited. We have a future homeowner that is a veteran. And we've had a special pot of funding from the Arizona.
I love that. I just want to press pause and say I love that, because I think people think of the Habitat, I did until I got intimately involved, is it's like a, usually I'm just going to say what my stereotypical thought was, a single mom with a couple of kids that works hard and wants to finish school and on and on. And what you say all the time is we don't define the family, and there's so many different kinds of families.
Oh yeah,
now.
Absolutely.
Ozzie and Harriet. No more.
It's single dads with children. It's complete intact
grandparents.
Families. Grandparents raising
That's
the grandchildren.
Happening more and more.
All kinds of folks. So we have a veteran right now.
I love that.
He was out. We did a blitz build last week. He was out 8 days in a row building with us. Just a delight. So we're building a veteran's house with the help of Home Depot and the Home Depot team and the Home Depot Foundation.
That's
so
awesome.
They're helping support that.
They're good to you.
They're very good to us.
They're good to you.
They're very
it's
good to
always
us.
Always great to give them a shout out. And Lowe's is good to you too.
Lowe's is good to us.
Yes. You have a lot of good partners.
We do.
A lot of good partners. So they are going, and what about, I mean, can you get help with an organization like Davis-Monthan? And I know they have a very different mission. But do they have any involvement?
We had a great team out from Davis-Monthan Air Force Base.
Awesome.
And the day we had to lift trusses, it's always nice to have some young airmen out to do that. The 12th Air Force, who's stationed at Davis-Monthan, was out. The 355th Wing is out on a regular basis. We've got to give them a shout out. We call the 355th mission support group the other day. We were short some plumbers, and their commander, will give her a shout out. Lori Richter. She was just terrific, and she answered my call right away and called over and saw if she could get us some volunteers.
Awesome.
They're always really terrific.
Great partners. And, you know, I wonder about for outreach for you. There are so many really good nonprofits in this community, and I've been here 40 years, and I know a lot of them. There's such a cadre of retired people here who have means. They have brains, they have college educations, they have time. How do you go about tapping into that treasure trove of possibilities? I mean, it's like, every nonprofit, I'm sure, is asking that. How do we find our next big donor? Because money matters, let's be honest. How do we find our next neighborhood where everybody in the whole neighborhood volunteers?
Well, you know, Mrs. Green, let me tell you this. We always love a big donor, you know. Aging in Place has been funded by a big donor. But, you know, I was on the phone with a gentleman the other day just thanking him. He writes us a check for somewhere between $7 and $10 a year. He's a senior. Sends us it at Thanksgiving time.
I love that you're telling the story, T.
And I call him every year and thank him. And it's his one donation a year that he can afford. And he sends us what he can afford.
If there's anybody listening who's thinking there's a donation that's too small,
there's no such thing.
I have been in nonprofits. I'm banging my hand on the table. It'll come out in the sound. There is no such thing as a small donation.
I get
donation.
The chills. I just got chills up and down
too.
My body. I love calling him every year.
$7 to $10.
And, you know, he's a consistent donor every year. And he sends us what he can.
I love that you call him.
Absolutely call him. And so it's those donors that send us $10 a month, $10 a year. Folks that can, the Arizona tax credit this year has gone up from $200 to $400 for the low-income tax,
awesome.
The tax credit for
Why
folks
would anyone
serving,
not do a tax credit?
That's yeah.
I always want to know. It's like giving money
Absolutely.
To the government or, you know, paying more taxes.
Well, I say you can pay your taxes to the Arizona, or you can decide to leave your tax dollars here in Pima County and decide where they go. And we'd love it if they went to Habitat for Humanity Tucson. But if you choose another Southern Arizona charity, please do that. Keep your dollars here locally rather than send them to Phoenix and allow the legislature to decide where those dollars go. But we, that's a huge, huge part. Like I said, I'd love it if someone wrote me a check for, you know, $500,000.
I would like it if they wrote you a check for $1.2 million.
I would love that too. for a lot of money.
We can hope. A lot of money.
It's those $20 a month, $200 a month donors that keep us going, and we're excited
it's
about
the
that.
The easiest thing to do. I have a lot of things that show up on my card each month that are $10 a month because I want to support a lot of them, and I know that amount is not too small.
It's just monthly.
You get 1,000 people like that. So we have to cover two more things rather quickly. I just want to tell you that, and I'm shouting out to my friend Nancy, who sent me pictures, and I think I forwarded them one of you, Wells Fargo is downsizing some of their offices, and they, because of her relationship with me, she loves that store. Let's go shopping down there. Her daughter got stuff for her apartment or house. She donated all the furniture. Habitat for Humanity's have a store. Take your stuff there because all of the money that they sell, the revenue from that helps support your mission.
And the Habit Store is going to start being open till 7:30 on the first of each month.
Awesome.
And as you know, we make major discounts, items from the previous month, markdowns every first of the month. So it's a great day to get a really amazing deal.
It's always hopping. Okay, everybody, I will get in so much trouble from your social media people if I don't do this. HabitatTucson.org on Facebook. It's Habitat Tucson. I have a new Twitter handle to report to. It's at the T Van Hook, the letter T Van Hook, at Habistore and at Habitat Tucson. You do a great job on Twitter. I mean, it's really a great job. And I will now have to follow at the T Van Hook. So we have to get all those in and talk about. I just want to add that our upcoming shows are on December 10th, John Knox with Earth Island Institute, another fascinating story about social capital changing the world. And on December 13th, another friend, Christina Paulsgrove, to discuss the Tucson Tree Cycle Program. I kind of get the whiny voice when I do this. Don't throw your tree in the garbage. They recycle it. They make wood chips. Then you can get the wood chips. it's all good. So T. Van Hook, my thanks to you. My thanks to all your staff that helped make this show so easy, and you who makes it fun.
Thank you, Gina.
Everybody, make it a great green day.